music runs in the family, right? Wow, Abigail, that was great. We're going to have to put you on the circuit. Right. Thank you for coming and singing to a strange bunch of folk. All right, let's go to John chapter 3. We're going to begin looking in verse 1. We're going through great gospel invitations in the New Testament. And we come to John, and we're going to look at a few in John, especially John chapter 3. You can't do great gospel invitations without thinking of John 3, the interview or the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. We're just going to read verses 1 through 3 this morning before I attempt to preach. And we're going to look at this. You must be born again. You must be born again. So let's stand in honor of God's word, and let's begin reading in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Father, I pray as we open the text, you open our hearts and teach us about what it means to be born again. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Am I doing okay with my speaking so far? Okay. It just to my ears, it don't sound right. But I got my iPhone down several times. I recorded myself talking. I said, that's not too bad at all. So, okay, let's look at this. You must be born again. This is probably the most popular text in the Bible, most famous in this interaction, interview, a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, where we discover the core of salvation, the new birth, and the deity of Jesus. So today I want to explain this passage by three questions that Nicodemus asked Jesus, and they're in our text today. First question is, how do you enter the kingdom of God? Now, I know what you're thinking, that Nicodemus did not ask Jesus this question. You're right, he didn't. But Jesus knew his thoughts, and he knew what he was really wanting to know. How do you enter into the kingdom of heaven? Look at verse 1 and 2 again. The same. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles except thou doest, except God be with him. And then Jesus just answers what's in his head. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He was a Pharisee, a separated one. He was a legalistic of the sects that day. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was on the Supreme Court, the ruling authority in the nation of Israel. He was a ruler of the Jews. And the Pharisees were a religious party of men who followed the Mosaic law very strictly and added a lot of things that were not in the original law. Their own legal interpretations, their own oral traditions. And Jesus went after this group especially to expose their hypocrisy. They did not deny that Jesus worked miracles. It says that in our text. But if he was not stopped, the Romans would come in, consider him an insurrection, and Romans would destroy the temple, and the religious authorities would lose their power. It says in verse 2 that the same came to Jesus by night. This is something that's often debated among theologians and preachers, is why did he come by night? And I'm not going to go into all the different views of this because this is my first Sunday back, and I'm just going to tell you the right one, okay? Nicodemus, he was a seeker. He was moving toward faith. He wasn't quite there yet, but he was going to be there when he helped Joseph of Arimathea bury the body of Jesus. Each time that you see him in the scriptures, he's referred to he that came by night. How would you like to go through your life and have that tagged at the end of your name? Bobby, the man who came by night, you know? What does that mean? Well, I believe the most popular view is the fact that he was a ruler of the Jews and he did not want the persecution from the other Pharisees to be openly associated with Jesus. So he came by night. Notice his theology in verse 2. Notice what he said there in the latter part of verse 2. Rabbi, thou art a teacher come from God. We know that you're a teacher from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He had two fatal flaws in his theology. Number one, he called him a teacher from God. He did not call him God who come to teach. Number two, he says God be with him, not God himself. He was God in the body, not a representative of God. So we learn here that it's possible to be religious and yet on your way to hell. With all his sincerity and religion, Jesus looked at Nicodemus in the eye and said, you must be born again. That did not start with Jimmy Carter, by the way. That started with the Bible. Jesus had to tell this outstanding religious man who by all a measure of men thought if Nicodemus didn't get there, we wouldn't be there. He had to look him in the eye and said, basically, you're going to hell unless you're born again. So Jesus answers and says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 3. That word again there means from above or spiritual birth, a second birth. Nicodemus needed a spiritual birth from above. We see that in verse 12. Notice that, if you will. If I had told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? In fact, the phrase born again is used three times in the New Testament. Twice here, once in verse 3, and once in verse 7, and once again in 1 Peter 1, verse 23. We're born again. So Nicodemus did not need a list of external rules and regulations. He needed an inner spiritual transformation, right? You can go to church all you want to, and you can adapt to whatever they're doing at church, but unless you've been born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus didn't need that. He needed eternal and inner spiritual transformation. He needed regeneration by the Holy Spirit. So when we talked about being born again, we're talking about regeneration. We're talking about the new birth. He needed eternal life planted within him. C.I. Scofield says, the natural man is blind and dead to spiritual truth. It is impossible to enter heaven, for he cannot obey, he cannot understand, nor can he please God. Let me say that again. He cannot obey God, he cannot understand, nor can he please God without being born again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, Paul said. Natural man being the lost man after Adam, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says this, because of the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so then they are in the flesh, cannot please God. So the first question is, how can you enter into the kingdom of God? Second question that Nicodemus asked is in verses 4 through 8. Notice it with me, if you will. How can a man be born when he was old? Notice verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, I know what you're thinking. This is the teacher in Israel, and he's talking about, thinking Jesus is talking about going through a natural birth again. Okay? And he says, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That goes a long way to letting us know what verse 5 means. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And then he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, where it wishes, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So in every one that is born of the Spirit. So he says, how can a man be born when he is old? He had no clue what Jesus was talking about, because the natural mind can understand spiritual things. Again, he thought about being born physically twice. Now, verse 5 has troubled many people. And again, I'm not going to go into all the views per se, but I'm going to just tell you the right view, okay? What does it mean to be born of water and a spirit? What does that mean? Well, there's different views. I'll tell you a few. Some people it means he's talking about John's baptism. Some believe he's talking about Christian baptism, but we know that's not true. You can go down a lost sinner and come up a lost sinner, right? Nor is he talking about human birth here, going back into the amniotic fluid again. He's not talking about that. When he said you must be born of water and the Spirit, this means regeneration by the Spirit or the cleansing by the Spirit through the Word of God. And he's making a reference to Ezekiel 36, which Nicodemus, who was the teacher in Israel, should have known what he was talking about. And let me read what Ezekiel 36. You might want to put this down in your margin in your Bible by verse 5. It's talking about the new covenant that not only do we have an opportunity to be in, but also Israel too. God's going to restore Israel and give them a new heart. In Ezekiel 36, verse 25, then I will sprinkle water upon you, and you shall be clean. For all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. I will give you cleansing and forgiveness. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That's another way of saying regeneration. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. And he's talking about the indwelling, and he's talking about obedience. The New Testament in Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So water is not baptism nor physical birth, but it is the new birth. It is the washing of regeneration by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Now let me give you further proof to that view. If you look in chapter 3, verses 6 to 8, we'll get further proof. He talks about the wind and the Spirit. They're the same Greek word, which we get the word pneuma or pneumonia. You can't get your wind. You know, there's something wrong with your respiratory problems. I don't mean there's something wrong with your respiratory problems. Because you got respiratory problems, you are wrong, right? There's something wrong with you. It's where we get that word pneuma, which means breath or pneumonia, if you will. And he's talking about the wind. The Holy Spirit blows where it wishes. Now, in creation, everything after its kind, flesh begets flesh and spirit begets spirit. No man, unless he comes to Christ, is going to will his own self be saved. It is a spiritual experience. The wind can't be controlled and it's invisible, but the effects of the wind can be seen and witnessed. Now, when this storm comes through tonight or tomorrow, we're not supposed to get that bad, but how do we know the wind is blowing? Because we see the effects of the wind, right? You can feel the wind. Same way with the new birth. We know when someone's born again because we see the effects of the Spirit in their life. Right? And that's what he's talking about. Proof of the Spirit's work can be seen and it can be evidenced in a person's life. So then, what is regeneration or the new birth? Let me share some quick theology with you. You must be born again. What are we talking about? Charles Ryrie says that regeneration is the act of God alone in which he quickens the human heart that was dead to God and gives spiritual birth. Regeneration is necessary because of Adam's fall and our subsequent fallen condition, our inherited sin. Number three, regeneration is God's gift of grace. It's immediate supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in us. You are born again. That's an act of God. He quickens you, justifies you, indwells you with the Spirit of God. That's what God does for you. But sanctification then follows regeneration and is a process of becoming more like Christ. Until ultimately glorification when we are like Christ at the end of our journey here on this earth. Regeneration changes the disposition of our souls, inclining our hearts toward God. You didn't love God while you were lost. You weren't seeking God. But God put that inclination in your heart, right? And you came to him. The fruit of regeneration is faith that works. So how do you enter into the kingdom of God? How can a man be born when he is old? And then we see the third question in verses 9 to 13. It won't be as long as you think it's going to be here. How can these things be? Look what he said in verse 9. Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 9, he says, how can these things be? Notice this sharp rebuke by our Lord. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? And then he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now, this is a strong rebuke here. In fact, in the original Greek, where he says in verse 9, art thou a master of Israel, or teacher? Aren't thou, in the original Greek, he says, aren't you the master? Aren't you the teacher in the nation of Israel? And how come you don't know what I'm talking about? You should know Ezekiel chapter 36 that taught the new birth by the Spirit of God. And again, in the definite article, the is in the original Greek, which means he was the most popular and schooled teacher in the nation of Israel. And how is it that you don't know these things? Jesus tells him. The nation was in bad shape, wasn't it? If the master teacher in Israel didn't know these things. Now, I want to close with an add-on here, verse 13. I want to close with this nugget, verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Who is that, folks? Jesus. Notice what he says, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. This is one of the reasons why we know Jesus is the only way to heaven. Right? Because only Jesus had this permanent abode in heaven prior to becoming flesh in the incarnation. And then he went back to heaven. What is the text telling us in verse 12 and 13? This is why Jesus is the only way to heaven. Because he is the one who abode in heaven, came to earth, went back to heaven. He is the only one qualified regarding salvation and spiritual things. This is why Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Amen. Right there in that one verse. Remember that verse. You can tell it and share it with somebody if they question why Jesus is the only way to heaven. Father, as our musicians come this morning, if there's one here this morning that's not born again, we're not talking about a church role. We're not talking about coming every Sunday. We're not talking about being baptized. All those things are things that we do after we're born again. So if there's one here in our midst today that has truly not been regenerated by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we pray today, Father, will be the day that they be bold and not be shameful when they come. Say, Brother Ken, I want to be saved. Share with me how I can ask Christ into my life. We invite you to come. Whatever it might be, the altar's open. Maybe you need to be scripturally baptized. You're a follower, but you've never been scripturally baptized. We invite you to come. Whatever it is today, maybe you want to come, just give thanks, God thanks that you're born again, born from above, the second birth, the spiritual birth, the one that counts. And because we are born again in this spiritual birth, the Bible tells us we will not experience the second death. If you're here today and you're born again, you're not going to experience the second death in eternal hell. And all God's people said amen to that, right? Amen. Amen. Father, whatever it is you want to do, we want to give you the freedom to do it. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.